It's the Ross Tucker Football Podcast.
Yeah, it is. But it's not just any Ross Tucker Football Podcast. It is a teaching tutorial Thursday presented by that glorious Amazon banner ad. When you scroll down rostucker.com, UK, Canada, US, click on it, takes you a landing page, and all you need to do is bookmark that bad boy. Even if you're Amazon Prime, I know, so is my wife, you will be good to go. Amazon helps us quite a bit. Really appreciate when you guys, if you're going to make Amazon purchases anyway, like so many of you do, that you go through that. It is a teaching tutorial Thursday, Greg Cosell Thursday, and the last episode of the week Thursday because of why I said yesterday. We got some travel going on, and there's really not anything else in particular to get into. There's not like a strong, compelling picks to make. I'm not making a pick for the Pro Bowl or the Senior Bowl. Take the North and take the, I don't know, they don't even have NFC, AFC. It's like Team Jerry Rice or something. I don't know. Take whoever the heck you want. I don't know, and I don't care. I do know, and I do care about the Spread the Word winner, and that is Larry Horn. He retweeted from your tweet, Bri, at RTF Podcast. He retweeted Andrew's podcast from Tuesday. At RTF Podcast, Larry Horn retweeted it. Larry, you are thus the winner this week. Email me. Let me know what press pass you'd like, or if you'd prefer a signed picture or signed card. I've got the NFC Championship press pass. Kind of a cool one. I've got the Ravens, Titans press pass. I got a bunch of good ones still in here. Some playoff press passes, baby. Good one for you guys to get. I got the Eagles playoff press pass against the Seahawks. These are sweet. Sweet. Get them. Get them while they're hot. Joe Arduino is the sponsor confirmation email winner. No idea, Joe, if that's how to pronounce your last name. A-R-D-U-I-N-O. Arduino. Arduino. I'm going to say Arduino. I think that's what it is. He took advantage of the Saks order. SaksUnderwear.com/Ross because he's a stud. He wants to feel like a stud. He wants his wife to look at him like he's a stud. That's what he wants. And he accomplished it because he bought Saks underwear. That's what we want. And we accomplish it by getting Greg Cosell on the show every week. It's Big Show time.
The Big Show.
All right, Greg. Well, we'll touch on the Super Bowl and your initial thoughts a little bit later. But kind of cool that we have a chance to really dive in to these conference championship games. Dive in like you guys do on the NFL Matchup Show. Terrific work again this past weekend. Let's start with the AFC championship game, Greg. And as I like to do, I don't want to steer you in too specific a direction to start. I want to get your overarching thoughts or what stood out to you before I have a couple specifics.
Well, I think let's start with the Titans defense. I thought their game plan focused more on coverage more than pressure. And for the most part, you could argue it was successful. They did not give up big plays in the passing game until that final Watkins touchdown. And keep in mind, their defensive approach also worked with their offensive approach because their defensive approach also shortened the game because it made the Chiefs use a lot of plays to score. And that's another part of the overall strategy. So, you know, that stood out to me. Obviously, the final drive at the end of the half by the Chiefs changed the game, and then certainly the first drive to start the third quarter. But the Chiefs had a 13-play drive, I think, for their final touchdown drive, and that, you know, that doesn't happen that often, and certainly the Chiefs don't do that very often. So I'd say the Titans' approach was one that they probably felt very good about, and for the most part, you could argue, was successful.
Wow, that's interesting, Greg, because watching it, I found myself at times getting frustrated by the lack of pressure and the 3- and 4-man rushes and just thought it was a surprising strategy and to give Mahomes that much time to throw the ball.
Well, they played out of sub all game. They play predominantly zone coverage concepts with disguise and late movement. They doubled Hill and Kelce selectively when they did play some man. They kept everything in front of them, and they minimized the big plays. The issue, as you said, was that they never got any meaningful pressure on Mahomes. My guess is they thought they'd be able to get some pressure on Mahomes, certainly with a four-man rush, and they were not able to do that. But that was their approach. They did not want to give up the big pass play by pressuring and playing man, because I don't think they felt real comfortable with their outside corners in sub matched up in man coverage.
I think that's fair. And, you know, it's probably easy for someone like me to sit here and say, why are you only rushing three or four? Why aren't you coming with pressure? But then, you know, I'd be the first one to say, how can you let Tyreek Hill beat you for a 60-yard touchdown over the top, right?
Right. So let's think of it this way. If you go in to play the Chiefs, any team, what is the one thing you do not want to give up?
Deep ball.
Deep ball, because they've got Hill and they've got Hardman. And Watkins, quite frankly, can run really well too. So you do not want to give up the deep ball. So if that becomes your number one priority, which my sense was it was for the Titans, then the approach they took makes tactical sense. Now, the flip side of that is perhaps you let Mahomes, if you can't get pressure with three or four, sit in the pocket. But at the end of the day, you're still not giving up 60-yard touchdowns. And your hope is that if it does take them 9, 10, 11, 12 plays to score, that somewhere along the line, something goes wrong. That's the approach a lot of teams take when they play teams that have explosive big play offensive ability.
What did you think on the other side with the Chiefs defensively? It seemed like, you know, early in the game, Arthur Smith had called some different play action stuff. You know, obviously he had the touchdown pass to the offensive tackle, Dennis
right.
Kelly, the Titans were doing what they wanted to do running it. And then Henry only had three carries in the second half. Do you look at that as the Titans got away from what they wanted to do, or that the Chiefs were doing a good enough job stopping Henry that the Titans had to do something that was more productive, more effective?
Well, I think the game flow with the touchdown at the end of the half and the Chiefs getting the ball to start the third quarter and scoring a touchdown to make it 28-17 changed the flow of the game, because the biggest possession for the Titans then became the drive after it was 28-17 and they did not score. You know, I think that just the game flow, I don't want to say it got them out of giving the ball to Henry, but the game got a little bit away where it couldn't just be Henry, Henry, Henry. And I think that three carries in the second half is very deceptive. That's a stat, and it's easy to say, given what Henry had done in the two playoff games and through the last part of the season, but every game becomes its own entity. And I think this game became a game in which, in the second half, after that Chiefs opening touchdown drive, that the Titans, I guarantee they felt they had to score, and they couldn't take 8 minutes to score. I think they probably felt that, you know, now we need to push the ball a little bit, and we need to score, because this game is getting away from us just enough that we can't just play quote-unquote Titans football.
Did you think, Greg, that the Chiefs did a really good job of slowing down Derrick Henry, or did you think that he slowed down a little bit? It didn't appear to me as if they and he had quite as much juice. You know, they had to play three straight win or you're out games. He had over 30 carries in all three of those games. Or did you think it was more just a really nice job by the Chiefs' defensive front?
I think that the Chiefs' defensive front did a good job. I think that the game flow prevents us from really knowing the answer to that, Ross. If that game was, let's say, tied in the third quarter or 20-17, you know, within one score, my guess is they would have kept giving the ball to Henry. And then we would know the answer to your question. We don't know the answer to that. You know, I don't think Henry slowed down. He only had three carries, but he had three carries for a reason, as I just said. So, you know, we don't know the answer to that at all. It's just the way the game played out is when you play the Chiefs and they start scoring touchdowns, because I think in this game, I think they had four out of five possessions at one point where they scored touchdowns. You know, you start to feel like you have to score touchdowns, and you probably start to feel like you can't take 9 minutes to do that.
Let's get to the NFC Championship game, Greg, and like I did for the AFC Championship game, just start with your initial thoughts when you watched that tape, whether it was live or when you went back and watched the coaching tape.
I would say this, and actually one of my guys on the matchup show said this, and I thought about it, and I think it makes perfect sense. I think the 49ers are a high-percentage base personnel offense. Okay, they play with a fullback. Juszczyk is a huge part of what they do. He could not touch the ball an entire game, and he's still a huge part of what they do. So they're a base personnel offense. And I personally think that the Packers under Mike Pettine, they're a schemed defense that wants to play out of sub, whether it's nickel or dime. And I think that when you play so much base, they took Pettine out of his sub, and he played what he really doesn't want to play, which is base defense. And I think that's one of the things that stood out to me watching that tape. Because Goodson, their other stacked inside linebacker with Martinez when they play base, played 39 snaps in this game. And he normally, if he plays 12 snaps, it's a lot.
Yeah, and I thought he really struggled. I thought their linebackers in particular really struggled, both on the edge and those guys getting off blocks. I mean, it was the whole defense really stuck to glue, but especially the linebackers.
Well, as you know, the 49ers are as multiple with their run game as any team in the league. I mean, you know, they feature multiple blocking schemes out of different formation looks. You know, this was a full menu of run concepts in this game: zone, trap, gap scheme, G scheme, toss, windback. I mean, they gave them the full Monty, and that's a tough run game to defend. And there's with all the misdirection elements as well. So, and obviously, we know that it was the run game because Garoppolo had 8 passes in this game. I believe he didn't need to throw anymore. So, I mean, they ran the ball 42 times for 285 yards. You know, just a couple of notes on that. 19 of Mostert's 29 runs went to Kittle's side. And 17 of 29 came with Garoppolo under center. So, you know, they were able just to run the ball and run it really effectively.
I was surprised, Greg, how much two deep safety looks the Packers had in the first half. Even as they were getting gashed, it was a lot of two deep safeties. Even against 21, you know, personnel for the Niners, I guess the thought process, Greg, is they didn't want to allow the Niners to get chunk plays off of play action that Kyle Shanahan's so good at. Otherwise, I was flummoxed by it.
Well, I think a lot of that, too, you know, was more of a what we call a cover four or quarters look where the safeties are involved in the run game. But they did play single high as well quite a bit. Sometimes formations dictate that, because one thing about the 49ers, they might play a lot with Juszczyk on the field, and they do, by the way, because Juszczyk, I believe, was on the field 40 snaps out of something like 51, so he was on the field a lot, but they're very formation diverse, Ross. You know, they'll spread you out of that. It's not, you know, people think fullback, and they think he's, you know, behind the quarterback, and it's your typical old school look. They do that as well, but they are very multiple with their formation looks with a fullback on the field, and they will spread you out.
The other thing I brought up, Greg, earlier in the week, and I want to get your opinion on this, is that, you know, I don't know, a lot of the teams in the NFL don't even have a fullback, and it does feel like most of the teams, when they run away from the tight end. They run weak, or the tight end's not a big factor in the run game.
Well, that's not true with the 49ers.
Well, that's my point, is that it looked to me like so many of the strong runs with Kittle and with Juszczyk, it just looks to me like the defenders don't have a great feel for how to fit those runs and don't do a very good job of getting off those blocks at all. And I'm not taking anything away from Juszczyk and Kittle. They're terrific players. But part of me wonders if it's just they're just not used to doing it. They're just not used to taking on blocks like that often.
Well, that's a hard question to answer because we don't know that. But the point is that that's what you have to do when you face the 49ers run game, because Kittle's going to line up as a strong side tight end on the line of scrimmage, and he's going to block DNs or outside linebackers, depending on what the front is. And obviously, you have to get off blocks. Juszczyk very often works through, you know, if it's a zone lead or an ISO type play, he's working up to a stack side linebacker. And, you know, those linebackers, they have to read the run, and sometimes it's hard to read run because the run pass fusion is so good with the 49ers and everything looks the same, but they have to play downhill and they've got to take on Juszczyk. Even if they don't make the tackle, they have to take him on in such a way that they close the hole. And not a lot of teams get to do that in the league because not a lot of teams that you face defensively play with a fullback, Ross, as you well know. So you don't get a lot of ISO lead, zone lead type runs in the NFL out of two back.
So we'll obviously talk about it more next week. We'll go real in depth on it. Just your initial thoughts on the Super Bowl matchup, first thing?
Well, I think we got the two best teams in the league this year, you know, certainly over the last part of the season. You know, I think that, you know, just general quick thoughts that are not X and O thoughts, I think you got the two best tight ends in the league in this game. You know, I think you've got, you know, the Kelce factor in this game because of the way the Chiefs line up. They make him the single receiver to the boundary an awful lot, and I think you've got to figure out a way to deal with that if you're the Chiefs. You know, so just those are sort of quick thoughts. There's, you know, we're still kind of playing around with all these tactical elements, but, you know, I think there's a lot going on here. Mahomes, the second reaction ability is critical. I mean, look, his defining touchdown, the turning point touchdown at the end of the first half, they had both Hill and Kelce doubled, and they had Rashawn Evans as a spy. And Evans was in perfect position. He should have tackled them for a three-yard loss. It was just a great individual play. But they were not out-schemed on that play. That should have been a three-yard loss.
Greg, you're the man. I cannot wait for the game. It's going to be fantastic. Can't wait to break it down with you next week. Thanks so much.
All right, Ross. Appreciate it. Thanks.
No, thank you, Greg. Fantastic, as always. Love it almost as much as I love myfrontpagestory.com. Here's the deal. Small business that I have some ownership in. I love it because I love what it does for the people that receive it. I love how happy it makes them, whether it was my wife's grandmother or my mom when my sister and I gave her one when she turned 70, or whoever you are going to purchase one for Valentine's Day. They will absolutely love it. You should absolutely do it. It's $50, or you can get a bigger story for $100, $150, but you can get one for $50. You talk to a writer for 10 minutes. They write the most unbelievable story about whoever you're getting the story for, your mom or your significant other or whatever, and it'll be the best gift, or at least one of the best gifts that they ever get, I promise. I'd be stunned if they didn't love it. Stunned. MyFrontPageStory.com. MyFrontPageStory.com.
Tuck Steaks.
Not a ton of news going on today, Ross, but we got a couple of things. And first, Jaguars hiring Jay Gruden as their OC.
You know, we don't get into all the coordinator hires, but when it's a guy that was just a head coach, we do. I don't know if Jay Gruden had years left on his deal or not with the Redskins. I think he did. So he could have sat out a year and tried to take maybe a better job. I'm a little surprised, frankly, that he took this job because Doug Marrone and Dave Caldwell, they've got to be on as hot of a seat as you can be on. So does Gruden really want to go there? And if those guys get fired, then he's looking for another job? I would have sat out, I think, and been a little bit more selective. if I was Jay Gruden, he's done a nice job as a coordinator with the Bengals, calling plays at times with Kirk Cousins with the Redskins. I would have sat out if I was him. I'm a little bit surprised that he took that job. I think it's a pretty good hire by the Jaguars. Now let's see what quarterbacks he's working with. Is it Foles? Is it Minshew? Is it somebody else? Is it Philip Rivers? Who knows? Maybe it's all of the above. I think those are all very good questions.
Tux takes.
The other news item comes out of Las Vegas, but it has nothing to do with the Raiders.
That is correct. The NFL has revealed their plans for the draft in late April in Vegas. And wow, it looks, I mean, some people are saying it looks over the top, but there's going to be a stage on the Fountain Lake in the Bellagio. The Fountain Lake, I mean, unbelievable promotion, by the way, for the Bellagio. They got to be loving it. People said the Bellagio's name about a zillion times yesterday and today. So that's a real positive for them. So they're probably getting what they want out of it. The NFL is getting a lot of attention for the draft in Vegas. You know, they on Monday, they wait and let everybody talk about the conference championship games. Then Tuesday, to stay in the news, people talking about the NFL, they released these images, which looked pretty darn cool. I guess that's not where the actual selections will be taking place. That's like an auxiliary stage for the arrival of the players or something. Looks pretty awesome visually. I don't know how that will be from a functional standpoint, but that's not really my issue. That's not really my problem unless I'm actually there, which I may or may not be. We shall see. But it looks pretty cool. Any thoughts on that, Bri?
I didn't see it all yet, so I don't really have many thoughts.
All right. Well, there you go.
Tux takes.
The only other two things we need to mention, Bri, are number one, the Packers bringing back Mike Pettine as defensive coordinator. When Matt LaFleur had a press conference earlier in the day, he said he was still working through that, but that's absolutely the right decision. I think they only had three games where they struggled. You know, the two Niners games and the Eagles game. Other than that, it's the best Packers defense in a long, long time. And really, they were the reason why they beat the Bears in week one and the Vikings in that Monday night game. Defense was pretty awesome for the most part. And then Eli Manning. He's going to have a press conference on Friday. He is retiring after 16 years. And not a surprising decision. Wasn't going to find a starting job anywhere and didn't want to be a backup. Made more money than any pro football player ever, $252 million. It's funny, I have a poll on my Twitter, at Ross Tucker NFL. Is he overrated or underappreciated or neither? And it's like a third, a third, a third for each, which pretty much sums up Eli Manning's career perfectly. I think when people said he was elite, he was probably a little overrated. I think the last few years people have been so rough on him that he's probably underappreciated. He never missed a game. That's insane in 16 years, and handled everything, including the benchings, with such great class and humility. A lot of respect for him as a result of that.
Ever wanted to ask an NFL player a question? Well, here's your chance. It's time to ask Ross.
The email address is ross@rostucker.com. You can take advantage of any of our sponsors ever, including Amazon I mentioned earlier, or BetOnline. You guys know we love betonline.ag. If you're going to make some Pro Bowl bets or Senior Bowl bets, you sickos, you degenerates, or if you're just getting in early on the Super Bowl, betonline.ag, promo code podcast1, get the 50% welcome bonus. That's the key to everything in life, getting bonuses, getting free stuff. betonline.ag, promo code podcast1, you get a 50% welcome bonus when you go ahead and deposit whatever it is that you deposit. What do you got, Bri?
Today's question, Frank from the UK. I've been saving this confirmation email for some time. Whilst I came up with a question, please see attached my Amazon confirmation for a purchase I made using the link on your website. Now, being in the UK, I've had Wembley International Series season tickets for a few years now. So this year I took my girlfriend to her first NFL game. She picked the Jags, and I thought she needed a bobble hat, hence the purchase attached to this email. Here's my question. Now, towards the end of the Titans-Patriots playoff game, Logan Ryan picked off Tom Brady, ran it back to the end zone for the score. However, it still remained a one-score game, and the pundits/Twitter folks were quick to point out that had he taken a knee, the Titans would have knelt to run out the clock, and there would have been no possibility of a kickoff return for a score and two-point conversion to tie the game in the dying seconds. Now, Ross, is this sort of a situational awareness something that will be brought up maybe during the week? Obviously, it was a massive movement for Ryan against his former team, but was it in the best interest of the team? Do different coaches handle this sort of thing differently? Would some leave it to the position coach to have a quiet word in the DB room, while some head coaches might chew the player out in front of the whole team? As always, keep up the great work. I love the show and was gutted to miss you when you were here last year at the pub in London.
That was awesome. I love being at the pub in London with my crew. So many awesome listeners were there. So that's interesting that he picked the Jags game to go to. It was at the International Series. I thought he flew to Jacksonville. I was going to say, really? No. So that is situational football. By the way, Brian, we've had this debate before. Is it whilst or whilst?
I assumed it was whilst since I said it twice in that reading that. I've never heard whilst, but I could be wrong.
I think both are acceptable. I'm going to go with both are acceptable there. Whilst and whilst, that might not be correct. You're probably right, but I'm going with both. So I would tell you that if the Titans already had the football, I think they would have been in the huddle on offense saying, hey, guys, if you break it, don't score. Take a knee like Miles Sanders did against the Cowboys in week 16 of the season. You know, I think that they, Jason Kelce, they had already brought that up in the huddle. So he knew, don't score, just take a knee. And so that's what Miles Sanders did. I don't think they talk about that on defense as much, but maybe they should. You know, maybe Logan Ryan should have been more situationally aware and should have known that or thought about that, and should have taken a knee in that situation. Man, that would be hard for me. Either situation. I mean, I guess if I was a running back and we talked about it in the huddle, I would probably do it. But you pick off a pass against your former team. Wow, man. It is hard not to score that pick six there, especially when your contract's up and you're a free agent like Logan Ryan. You know, having a pick six in a playoff game sounds a lot better and is better for your agent than, oh, he had a knee six. He had an interception, then took a knee. Just sounds much, much better in my mind. So it's a good question. I would think that that would be something either the head coach Mike Vrabel or the defensive coordinator Dean Pease would have brought up in that scenario. Would have said, you know what? Guys, great job, Logan. Excellent work. But next time, let's be a little bit smarter here. We would have been better off if we just took a knee in this situation and ended the game. This way, the way you did it, there was still some chance that the Patriots could win. That would be my guess as to what they would say. So, anywho, that's the deal. Other than that, I think we're done here. I think shout out to the White Label Group. Remember, no show tomorrow, but you can absolutely listen to the Even Money podcast with some Super Bowl stuff and conference championship breakdowns, Fantasy Feast, College Draft podcast to get ready for the Senior Bowl. There's a lot of different things you can still listen to if you're missing your RTFP tomorrow. Other than that, again, shout out White Label Group. They got an extra one there. I think we're done here.
Thanks for listening to the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Make sure to also subscribe to the Fantasy Feast, Even Money, Business of Sports, and College Draft. All available at Apple Podcasts, RossTucker.com, or wherever podcasts can be found.